This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Mitt Romney says he paid $3 million in taxes last year. What's that make his tax rate?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill. Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney released his tax returns this morning. The returns show that in 2010, he made about $20 million and paid $3 million in federal income taxes. Romney's effective tax rate is around 14%, but that's a different tax rate calculation than the one you're probably familiar with. For more, we go to Charlie Whelan. He's a public policy professor at the University of Chicago. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's the tax rate we all think we pay?
Most of us look at the marginal tax rate. So over $250,000, if the marginal tax rate is 39%, we say, oh my goodness, I finally make $251,000. And we assume that we are paying 38 or 39% on that entire sum. And in fact, the marginal tax rate changes for each level of your income. So you're probably paying zero income tax on, say, the first $15,000 or $20,000 of your income, and 10% on the next chunk of your income, and 28% on the next chunk. And that high marginal tax rate only kicks in at that last dollop of income.
So can you tell me what other tax rates are out there that maybe better indicate what I actually pay?
The easiest one is just your average tax. We take how much you paid the government, we take your income, and we divide your tax into your income. So if you paid $18,000 on $100,000 of income, your average tax rate is 18%.
And what about the effective tax rate? What are we talking about there?
Well, in that case, you start to get a little more complex. If you're talking about somebody who has a very complex life, like a Mitt Romney, then you want to look at what is the true tax burden, the effective tax burden on your overall income. It can get quite complex when you realize that money gets taken from other places that don't show up on your actual tax return. In the case of Mitt Romney, his effective tax rate, you know, what really goes to the government as a result of his behavior, is almost certainly higher than what shows up on his tax return.
What rate should we be paying attention to? What rate are you most interested in when you look at Romney's tax returns?
I'm actually not terribly interested in any of his rates. That said, I'm very happy that we're having this discussion, because what we need to be talking about isn't particular to Romney. It's, okay, given that we're taxing these different kinds of income at vastly disparate rates, the discussion is, how does that affect our behavior? They're really important questions from an economic standpoint for the country.
Professor Charlie Whelan, thanks.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, global leaders will descend on the snow-covered ski town of Davos in Switzerland. They do it every January for the World Economic Forum. But this year, they're not alone. Protesters from the Occupy movement have set up camp. Christopher Wirth reports from London.
When the Occupy protests spread around the world last year, many supporters feared the movement would fizzle out when the cold weather came. But in Davos, the high today is a chilly 25 degrees. And to keep warm, protesters have built a camp of igloos big enough to sleep 50 people. Protester David Roth says the group is buried in over 3 feet of snow.
We have a big snowfall, and probably to give courage back to the other occupied movement, to show that we should continue with the protest, even if the weather is really bad.
And he says Davos is the perfect place to direct the outrage of the Occupy movement. He says he doesn't think the politicians and business leaders he believes created the global economic crisis should be trusted to come up with the solutions to fix it. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
Now, let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed this morning. The NASDAQ is nearly flat. It's up slightly, about 1.5 points. The S&P 500 is up down 0.3%. The Dow is down 32 points at 12,676. Well, the golden arches keep getting brighter. McDonald's says net income rose 11% in the last few months of 2011. Harley-Davidson also zoomed past expectations. For safety's sake, though, let's just hope folks aren't eating Big Macs while they're riding.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. By Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the Internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com.
We've got a new study out today showing that old is the new green. The National Trust for Historic Preservation says retrofitting an old building almost always saves more energy than building a new one, even if the new building is eco-friendly. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
Say you want to build a downtown apartment complex with a cafe and shops. You add solar panels, recycled floors, insulated windows. But if you tear down an existing building to do it, it'll take decades to get any green benefit, says Patrice Fry at the National Trust.
Up to 80 years for a new efficient building to compensate for the environmental impacts that occurred during the construction process.
The new study found that's true for lots of building types, single-family homes to big office parks. Fry says city planners should think about all the energy wasted before they let developers tear down buildings. But the real estate market is moving that way on its own, says Rob Melnick at Arizona State. He says developers are nervous to gamble on new construction, but they like the idea of sprucing up property with an energy-efficient retrofit.
You know, to protect what you have and really to provide the building efficiencies at a lower short-term cost.
Because developers do know people want green buildings. Buyers will pay more for them and renters will stay in them longer. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, we've got another sign the hipsters are winning this morning. Disney is coming to terms with facial hair. For the first time, workers at its theme parks will be allowed to grow beards or goatees. Disneyland had been facial hair free up till 2000. That's when Disney okayed mustaches, as long as they were grown out on vacation. But don't expect a bunch of scraggly-faced tour guides on the Jungle Cruise just yet. This is a kind of change that takes some time. The hair growth may officially commence on February 3rd. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Tahrir Square in Cairo and Wall Street are about a half a world apart. In the past year, though, they've become a lot closer.
I think that sparked the imagination of younger people in the United States. We could do something besides conventional politics.
I'm Kai Rizdal, drawing a line from Arab Spring to Occupy Wall Street. That's next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.